Hello and welcome to this exploring slash fragments session. This time we're looking at The Prodigal Son, a super short fragment printed around 1530 by one of our regular printers of plays, William Rastall, son of John Rastall, two of the pioneers of play printing. There's a lot to say about this tiny bit of a play. Let's work through the cast first. So in the foreground of the action, in the first section, are a wife and a husband. They're having a sort of open-ended insult match, which may or may not be heard by the other. It could be that they're right next to each other, the insults bouncing off their respective sides like water off a duck's back, or they're separated and distanced, mostly talking to the audience. The wife, Uxor, throws insults at the father, Peter, that she could cuckold him any time. She sings cheerfully about cuckolding him, and one of the questions to ask here is what's the tone of this exchange? And for that matter, are they supposed to hear each other, or is this just to the audience? Are they truly attacking each other, or is this a kind of back chat that couples can semi-humouredly throw at each other? The husband's replies, responses, comments are brief, slightly distanced. He must hear the song his wife sings, but is he fully engaged? Later he comments on something said by his son, and is that thrown at the son, at the audience, or both? These are all questions that we can't really answer. And so whilst these cuckolding threats are thrown, their son is wandering in and out of the action trying to sell some wood, rather like a contestant on The Apprentice who you know is not going to survive the boardroom. He's a bit rubbish at this selling wood lark, and he tells the audiences about his poor life choices. He's unhappily married, he resisted pressure from his parents to go into higher education to improve his status, a point his father happily throws in his face, that there's nothing you can do about that now. Throughout this speech and following action, there's a good question as to where the mother and father are placed on stage, or do they leave at some point, or will they remain and sit there semi-chorus-like through later action? Now, at this point, in comes a servant, and the stage direction states, "Here the servant cometh in, speaking some strange language." Whatever that means. The son mistakes his talk as that of learning, thinking the servant has gone to university, a continuance of his regret at not getting an education. It's unlikely the son would have gone very far, as he can't even pronounce university, instead saying Instausnisti. We don't really know how to say what he says, but it's obviously some sort of weird variation on university. This new servant character is lively, perhaps a clown figure, a vice figure, something along those lines. He's working for an hosteler located next door to the house of the husband and wife. Why he enters speaking some strange language? Is he a foreigner, staying on to work in a place where different voices might pass through? It doesn't seem to be so. His use of language is fluid and in keeping, to some degree, with the rest of the play. Perhaps he learns snippets of language of the people who pass through. In the absence of more of the play, this will remain a mystery. The servant does some grandstanding, performing a comic patter list of the people who stay at his master's establishment, and so not telling us anything more about himself. He is prompted to admit that his master is Humphrey Heartless, whose wife beats him, returning us to the running theme of women dominating their husbands. For all the lively fun of this fragment, I suspect the play would not stand up to much feminist scrutiny. So it's perhaps a good thing that the fragment ends here. I've gone on quite length here for these 84 lines that survive, but for now here is our relatively short first stab at getting into the text. This was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare regulars on a dull Saturday morning in April 2019. There are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. We recorded this on the same day as other fragmentary plays, which will be on their way anon. More fulsome audio versions of all these plays will be released in the future, and there may even be a stage version as well. As we'll be recording a proper version of this anon, please suggest thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. Submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page by joining us, or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes, or you can email us at admin@beyondshakespeare.org. The irregulars were Liz Cole as Uxor, Richard Fawcett as Pater, Mark Scanlon as Phileas, and I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton, who will be reading the part of the servant. And this is our first look at the prodigal son.
Prodigal son, if you could be Uxor, the wife, Richard, if you could be Pater, the husband, and Mark, you marked your card for this one the other day, if you could be Phileas, yeah, and I'll be the servant who comes in later on. So, broadly speaking, what's going on here is the Phileas is wandering up and down upstage, we presume, trying to sell his faggots of wood. So, please don't let modern connotations intrude in the prodigal son.
I can have lovers more than one or two that shall make my husband, without fail, to have 20 horns more than a snail.
Devil cast wild fire in thy tail.
Will ye buy any faggots?
But now I must knead with needle and thread, and that can go so for Sir John Rose to wipe therewith his nose. I will sit here alone.
Will ye buy any faggots?
Here she must sit down and sew, and let her sing. You don't have to sing. Her sing this song following.
An husband I have, and he is but a knave, and I am a wily pie. I set him on the score, and tell him before that a cuckold he shall die.
Marry that as well, if that be true. He may go counter at Erexit Cornu. But let every man mark it all his life, and he shall not find it long of the good wife.
Will you buy any faggots?
So we have to pause it, because there's several good things going on here, of which the absence of the rest of the players, I'm really quite sad now, because I really, really rather like this. So obviously there's some tension in the household between the wife and the husband. I mean, not that she is necessarily having an affair, but she could, and it's a sort of held threat over your head. I mean, there's this horns, 20 horns more than a snail, cuckoldy. You've got cornu, so that's cornuto in Pater's line towards the end there. So again, cuckold horns. So there's a bit of tension between you, and whereas poor Phileas is failing to sell his faggots.
Got other things on their mind, haven't they?
And it's a great bit of comic business of just him just wandering. He just clearly is just wandering every so often, suddenly reappears and just says his one line. And you think, is he going to do anything in this play? Cause I almost kind of wish he doesn't. Just every so often says a politically incorrect line upstage. Anyway, here the sun cometh in again, lamentably saying as followeth.
I have walked up and down the street, and not with one there I can meet, that will my faggots buy. Now to my home, when that I shall come, I shall be beaten bitterly. I would the earth had me swallowed, my father's will when I not followed. He would have had me a clerk, but I was a fool so stark. That his mind I judge naught, but that I have now dearly bought. Oh, woe is to that man all days of his life, that hath a shrewd queen to his wife. All this trouble my father told me before, but of his words I made no store. That alack, alack, and wheel away, that ever I live to see this day, swallow me earth, I heartily thee pray.
It's too late, son, now, so to say.
Now, gentle master, buy my wood. I ask for it but a penny good, for surely if I home it bring, this is the last day of my living.
Oh, no, that must be to an invisible person. Right,
yeah.
So we've got an extra. Or audience member. Yes, you can be more lamenting than that. It's just, you know, you've got a failed business. You've got problems at home. You wanted to go out and be a clerk. Oh, well, never mind. Here the servant cometh in, speaking some strange language. Debate. And the son saith unto him as followeth.
I cry you mercy, maester, I stand in your way. I pray you pardon me, I wrote not what ye say. I can understand no Latin, I was never at Oxenby. nor yet in Cambridge, nor other institution.
Institutes.
It's his garbled way of saying university. So yeah. Instuinity. Or something like that.
Nor yet in Cambridge, nor other instituency.
Yes, it's the only thing we can be certain of, that the E has to rhyme with B. Sir, you should say university, not instuinity.
I pray you, good sir, hold me excused for too much roperite terms I'm not used.
Well, fellow, let me thy faggots buy. An ear is for them, a penny.
You shall have them, maester, with all my heart. But tell me your name before you depart.
My name is Robin Runaway, an ostler that maketh the bottles of A, dwelling the next house to the cuckold dome, not far from the place that your father was born. Jinkin Jumbler, Rafe Rumbler, Philip Slumbler, Tompkin Tumbler, Stephen Stumbler, Henry Humbler, Martin Mumbler, Binnick Bumbler, Gwyn Grumbler, do dwell verily with the same man as I.
But yet ye told me not your maester's name.
Of a truth, sir, in that I was to blame. His name is Humphrey Artless, the truth to say. Beaten of his wife sometimes twice a day. Good fun. Subtle as a brick. But good fun. So yes, he knows the neighbourhood. I like the speaking in some strange language. I mean, I don't know what... Is it supposed to be he's entering speaking Latin? Or is he foreign? He sounds local. Or at least, you know... of the streets, some kind of servant to a university, perhaps, but he's not a roperipe, such ropery, roperipe. It's your Phileas random weird word again for too much. What word are you supposed to be getting wrong there?
He could just be somebody that says things wrong.
Sounds like there's a word that he's trying to use, some sort of posh word. Because he's heard someone he thinks speaking Latin. But is he speaking Latin? What is this strange language? What does that mean?
I mean, it could well be a current word for gobbledygook.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or highfalutin.
Any thoughts? We've got a song. We've got this sort of comic list, which could be played in so many different ways. I did it very quickly, just sort of to get through it. But it's the kind of thing that it's almost like playing to the audience. Has he got another one? I've got another one! Kind of comic, terribly funny clown action. You know, and could he make up more on the spot?